Pastor Wes and Serena are off today, as you can tell, but we have Gary Timmer coming to share the word. Would you welcome him as he comes this morning?
Good morning. Today was one of those days where I kind of wish that worship would just go on and on and on and on, and then I wouldn't have an opportunity to get nervous, and then we get to the last song, and we're getting to the end, and it's like, gosh, why am I nervous? No reason to be nervous, right? We're just family here. So how many of you, if any of you, this is the first time that you would hear me speak in a church service? Raise your hand if this is the first time you hear me speak. Nobody? Oh, okay. Oh, great. Then I have this spiel that I've been using for years and years, so I'm gonna stick with it and use it. So if you're visiting with us today, and I know you're not visiting with us, but glad it's your first time here to hear my message, or the message that the Lord has given me. I like to say I'm not the regular speaker and make sure that everybody knows that. If you're online, it's your first time, I am not the regular speaker. Tune in again next week, or better yet, come in person and hear Pastor Wes, because he is much more polished, has much more experience, and definitely is called to be our pastor and our regular speaker. And then I like to say that if you really like this message and the content, then come back every week, because you never know when I will be back. Also, I have a lazy eye. It's my left eye. It will wander. So sometimes it's looking straight ahead. Sometimes it may be off at the side. But I may or may not be looking at you in the eye when I'm speaking. But it's really not intended to be that way. This message was really, it's not written with anybody, any single person in mind. I got a lot out of preparing it, which I think is really beneficial. This scripture actually came to me May 3rd when we were in a service. Pastor Wes was speaking, and it just kind of hit me, and Lord said, next message, use the scripture. So I wrote it down in my notebook, and when it was time, I started to prepare. So we will start with our Bible declaration, because some things that are religious are really worth doing, right? Amen. And I like it when you talk to me too, just like Pastor does. No, not really any different. It encourages me, helps me keep going, makes me think that you're paying attention and not just like zoning out, wondering, you know, how's the crock pot doing, or what's the blue plate special today, or things like that. So, say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it, and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you come in every week with that mindset that I will never be the same? I'm going to come today, I'm going to get in God's presence, I'm going to hear His word, and after I'm in His presence and I hear His word, I will never be the same again. I think if we all got up every day throughout the week and said, God, today I want to be different today. God, change me today. I want to be changed by your word. I want to be changed by your presence. And then we came together every Sunday with that mindset that I am going today and I will never be the same, because I'm going to be in his presence with my family, with my brothers and sisters. And I'm going to be changed by the word. I'm going to be washed in the word. I'm going to do my best not to use a bunch of Christianese today, which is things like, I'm washed in the word. Well, what's that mean? Washed in the blood. Oh, that sounds nasty, right? So changed by God's word, washed in the word, changed by God's word. I'm just changed. And you can't help but be changed by God's word if you let it come into your. All right, so the message today, the title of the message today is First, Last, or Somewhere in the Middle. First, Last, or Somewhere in the Middle, and hopefully it'll all make sense as we go through this. This is a continuation of the series of Things I Learned That Helped Me When I Became a Christian, Part 10. Believe it or not, Part 10. This series has been going on for a few years now. So things that I've shared that changed my life as I became a Christian. I'll talk a little bit more about being born again, but I was a born again Christian about 30 years ago, and which is half of my life now. I've been a born again Christian, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go too. But I've shared about praise and worship and how praise and worship helped change my life. Finding our fit in the church, that's important, right? Everybody agree that it's important to find your place in the church. It's important to find your part in the body of Christ, to know what God has called you to do, where you should do it, and how you should do it. Long 30 years ago, I thought that was a lot different than it is today, and even was 27 years ago when we came here. Giving and how important it is to giving, and Pastor talked about that last week, and there's so much truth with that. That would be one that if anybody ever, if you have questions, if you just, I don't get it, I don't believe it, you want to talk, that would be a subject I would love to meet over a cup of coffee or a bottle of water or whatever, and we can talk through that one. Dealing with temptation. That Jesus came for each one of us. The importance of getting in the Lord's presence. And again, that if you want to be changed, being in his presence is a great place to be changed. You can't help but be changed by spending time in the presence of the Lord. The importance of getting in the Lord's presence as a group, right? As us together, all of us together, all the power that comes from all of us coming together, sharing what we've learned, sharing our testimonies, lifting up each other as is needed. Because not everybody's up all the time, right? Sometimes people are in a real low, dark area and need to be pulled out of that. And it's rare or almost impossible that we would all be at that low part at the same time. A lot of times people, this one's kind of free. A lot of times when people get in that space, they don't want to leave that space. They're afraid to leave that space. And the best thing you can do is get out of that space and come around people that can bring that light. Performing miracles in Jesus' name. Standing firm. Standing on the word. And the last one was eagerly pursuing the gifts of the Spirit. Now, today's a scripture that I really haven't considered much before. Like I say, May 3rd, just out of the blue, the Lord said, Matthew 20, use this the next time you preach. And I've learned over the years not to dwell, because if I started researching and started writing May 3rd, we would be here for a week and a half. So I think about it. I think about the scripture. I read the scripture. But I really don't start writing things down until this week before, unless something really comes. It's like, I got to write that down or I'll forget it. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew 20, we're going to read 1 through 16. And I'll be reading out of the New International Version. And it's the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And if you're at Matthew 20, you can say amen, please. All right, verse 1, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for a day, and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" Verse 7, it says, "Because no one hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they had received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do that, to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. God, you know what's written in the notes. Lord, you help me to put them in the notes. And Father, if that was just for preparation for me, that would be great. If not, God, just let me speak the words you want spoken. Let me say the things you want said. And Lord, don't let me say the things that I shouldn't say. God, I pray that your word would be received with love, Lord, that your word would be received to change all of our lives, God, each one of us. Father, I pray that you would start with me. God, we thank you. We love you. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll break down the scripture a little bit. And I have some notes in here as I go through, too. So in verse 1, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom is a kingdom, kingship, or a royal rule. And of heaven, it really means the sky, the air, or any area above the earth. And really translated, the kingdom of heaven is the place where God dwells. So the place where God dwells is like a landowner who went out in the morning to hire his workers. Workers are workers or laborers or one who does something. I thought that was pretty good. A worker is somebody who does something. And I didn't write this down, but I could step back. So in Matthew 19, Jesus was talking about how it's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Peter, I relate a lot to Peter. I wish I related to Peter and all the good things he did, but I tend to relate myself to Peter and all the bad things that he did. But Peter was like, well, you know, inheriting the kingdom of heaven. And I can visualize Peter, because again, I feel like there's times where my mindset is the same as Peter. So I picture myself saying these things. Well, God, shouldn't, you know, if you know, these people that really haven't done anything, you know, I know they're gonna get to go to heaven, but what about us? We sold everything we had. We, you know, that's what Peter was saying. We sold everything we had. We dropped what we were doing, we stopped everything to follow you. Shouldn't we? We really should get more, right? So that was in chapter 19, and Jesus said, time out. Time out. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who needed workers for his vineyard and then got us to this point. So verse 2, he says, for the laborers, he agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. Now, a denarius is about a day's wage. It actually is a day's wage was equal to what a Roman soldier would make in a day. So, according to what I read and saw, that it's a really good day's wage to work in a vineyard all day long. Okay, it wasn't being stingy. It was being pretty generous to hire these people to work all day to do that work. So about 9 o'clock in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. So I picture the marketplace as being kind of like the very first union hall, if you can relate to a union hall, where you got a bunch of workers sitting around waiting to go to work. They got their tools, they got skills, and they're out there waiting for somebody to pick them and say, yeah, we need this person or this, you know, this many people today to come and do this work, and they just call you up from the union hall. Or it's like a professional sports team that reaches out to the feeder team. So it's the Detroit Tigers calling the Whitecaps and saying, hey, we need to call up some players today to come and do this. Hope that kind of helps relate a little bit more. But that marketplace or the center of town was really kind of like, that's what that was. It was a place where the workers would gather in hopes that they would get hired to go out and do the work. The marketplace is the center of the social and commercial life is how that's translated for the marketplace. Doing nothing, right? It said that he went out at about 9 o'clock in the morning. So first he went out first thing in the morning and he got a bunch of workers, sent him to the field. Then he comes back about 9 o'clock in the morning and he finds these people that are just still there doing nothing. And doing nothing is being idle, lazy, useless, ineffective, careless, or doing nothing. Verse 4, it says, he told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you what is right. Right means right, righteous, upright. In the New Testament, the word, the way it's depicted there, refers to God's proper standards and actions expressed in a covenant. Like, it's not going to be broken, right? So it was... The way it was said was, come and do the work, and I'm going to make sure that you get what you deserve. Yeah, so the owner's reputation must have been really good for them to accept that and go without actually, negotiating a wage for that day. Verse 5, one of the shortest verses in the Bible, it says, so they went. But then it goes on to say, he went out again about noon and 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. Verse 6, at about 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He said to them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? So standing around is to stand. To stand firm, like planted. I'm here. I'm just here. And be present. So, I'll tell you, I struggled a lot with this. I actually tried to do some research to figure out more and what did this really mean all I could come up with was some speculation. But at first, when it, you know, when he went out here the third and fourth time of the day to get, and there's more workers that hadn't got swallowed up, you know, the first three times, I started to think about the workers. And I thought, well, gosh, the first ones, they must have really been eager to go to work, right? They were there first thing in the morning. They were the first ones to get picked. They were the first ones to get sent out. You know, they agreed on the wage. And they went and did that. And then the other ones were still there and said, you know, they were idle, kind of doing nothing. Why? Were they kind of the slackers that really didn't want to work? But now they, you know, now they're starting, oh, we're second best, you know. Hire us, we're second best. I don't know. It's just kind of a weird thing. And I thought, well, maybe they weren't there. Maybe they slept in, right? And they weren't even there. But then the word says that they were there all day. So they were there. I believe with all my heart they were there when the first ones got picked. Why weren't they picked? I don't know. Maybe they weren't as eager to get picked. But we don't know. This may be one someday we get to ask Jesus in that parable, what was the real meaning here, and how close did I get it? Like, I'll be concerned about that when I see him. Let's see if I missed anything there. Yeah, so they were there all day, which means all day, doing nothing, idle, lazy, useless, ineffective. And they said, because nobody hired us, they answered. So he said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. Verse 8, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, did I miss one? I think I missed something. Excuse me. Yeah, it was about, did I read about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, verse 6? No, let's go back to verse 6 then. Verse 6, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he went out and found still others. These are the ones that I kind of went on my rant about. The ones that were there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon that were still there with their tools ready to go to work at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, right? But all these others had been picked before then all day long to go out. And I started to think, well, did the owner not realize how many workers he needed? I don't know. There had to be the same amount to be picked in the morning was more than likely about the same amount that needed to be picked at night. Maybe a few more got ripe, but not a ton more. But at 5 o'clock, there's still a bunch of them there standing around. And he asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? And he said, because nobody hired us. He said to them, you go also and work in the vineyard. So at 5 o'clock. Verse 8, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first. The owner means Lord Master in this particular case. It can be also be the title of a person in higher status. Also the property master of or the master of property or the master of slaves. The foreman is just that, the manager or the guardian. And the workers, in this case, the workers are the laborers, the one who does something, similar to what we saw in the beginning. It is people who are doing something. The last ones really are the last, also can be translated as the least or the final. And the first can either be in chronological order, so the first ones to get picked, 1, 2, 3, 4, number one, or really in the order of importance. So what if you think about that, what was important, the people that worked all day or the ones that were there for just an hour or two before dark? I don't know that it really matters. They're all serving a purpose. So the workers who were hired at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, in verse 9, came and each received a denarius. The ones hired at the end of the day were given what was promised to the ones who worked all day. Let that sink in. The ones who were hired at the end of the day were given what was promised to the ones who worked all day. Verse 10, it says, so when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. So they expected means that to think or suppose or expect or consider. You know, you think about that. So, yeah, I've been working all day. Well, we'll talk more about that in a minute. Verse 11, it says, when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. They began to grumble means to grumble, complain, or mutter. Anybody ever grumble, complain, or mutter? Against is really against, contrary or opposed to, and the landowner who is who they were grumbling against. Verse 12, it says, these who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. The work there is to do or to make, to practice, to produce, and it is a term of action or performance. Have borne is to carry, bear up, carry off, or to tolerate or help or support, and burden is a burden, a heavy weight. It can either be of difficulty or importance. So again, working all day, I'm sure that those who worked all day, especially since we think that they may have been the cream of the crop workers, right? Because they got hired first and then worked all day. And, you know, I know I've worked with people that are just steady fast, right? Like they, from the moment they start in the morning until they go home at night, they are steady fast. I've seen people who are steady slow, too. Got to pace myself. I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to get too far. I've worked in an environment before where people would get mad at you if you were a top performer because it makes the rest of them look bad too. Anybody can relate to that? Not a good place to be. The heat, scorching heat, is what the heat was, and the heat of the day. Scorching heat. So those. You know, again, they're grumbling, they're complaining, and they're saying, man, we worked all day. We worked through the heat of the day. This was terrible conditions. And you paid these people that had just been here a little while the same thing that you paid us. So some of you can relate to this. Back when the church, this church, Central Family Worship Center Church, had just started, we met in so many different buildings. We met in the community center. We met in the high school at night. Then we met in the community center during the day. And then we met at the wedding chapel. And we met at the Christian Reformed Church. And we met at... I'll probably forget a bunch. We met at the Farm Museum, and we've met at the Farm Museum for a long time. And what Sunday mornings would consist of is we would go pick up a trailer that was full of everything that the church owned in this trailer, and we would do it, you know, every Sunday, and it didn't matter if it was summer or if it was winter, right? And we would haul it to wherever we were meeting, and we would have to unload it. We would have to set up the sound system, and we would have to, at one point we had carpet in the community center. We would roll out the carpet, and we would set up folding chairs, and we would put signs on and our banners on the walls, and we would put signs out in the community, and you know, at the farm museum, we rolled the tractors out of the way so that we could set up. The drum set was in pieces. Every piece had to be assembled every week. The sound, you know, run the cables, set up everything, right? And as I was writing and reading it, it just kind of dawned on me, you know, like what was the heat of our day? And those things just kind of popped in. And some of it I might be reminiscing a little bit with Brent and worshiping with Brent again too, which is pretty awesome. And then after we set it up, we'd tear it down and put it in the trailer and drop it off. And we had schedules where whose week it was to pick up the trailer. But then we would all pretty much come together to set up and tear down and do all that stuff. We met in houses to pray. We met in restaurants for Bible study. Some folks would say, you know what, I can relate to that. I did that at my last church. Nobody knew that we were here in town, so we did corporate outreaches. We did a monthly outreach. We washed people's cars. We collected canned food or canned goods. We went door to door. We did stuff for the schools. We did all kinds of stuff that we don't do now that we should still do now. We gave backpacks away, things like that. I saw a, and I'm kind of, this is a tangent, but it's in my notes, but I'll bring it back too. I promise. I saw a video yesterday, and instead of playing the video, I'm just going to go through the facts that they talked through on the video. And it talked about why people come to church. And I can kind of relate that to why the people came to the Vineyard and why they worked and some of the scripture that it talked about. But it said in the video, 6 to 8% of people come to church on their own. So if there was 100 of us in there, six or eight of us were like walking down the street and said, oh, look, a church, I think I'll go. Okay? That's it. Six to eight out of 100 people say, oh, look, a church. I think I'll go to church. Organized evangelism, and that's where I started on that tangent of writing things down as after watching this video. You know, car washes, school stuff, door to door, backpack, giveaways, things like that. 2 to 6% end up in a church because of organized evangelism. Only two to six out of 100 people because of organized evangelism. It's not very good return on investment, but we shouldn't stop doing it. Amen? We shouldn't stop doing it. Some of the things, as I was thinking about going back in time, is the camaraderie, the community, the family that we built, working together, doing those things. I don't remember. There were times where people would, you know, get under each other's skin. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. But for the most part, we all got along, and there was never any blood drawn. Close a couple times, I can tell you that, and I was almost a recipient. So 2 to 6% by organized outreach. 8 to 10%. Because they know the pastor or because of church programs. And I've heard over the years too, well, it's, you know, boy, the church isn't overflowing and it's the pastor's fault. That's not the case, right? Only 8 to 10 of 100 people would come because of the programs at the church or because of the pastor. We've had a lot of people that would leave because, oh, well, you know, we need something more for our, you know, we need something more for our kids, or we need, you know, you don't have this or you don't have that. And I like to say with that, that it's probably the Lord putting a burden on somebody to start that or to get involved in that. So here's the one. Anybody, this is the one we all should be waiting for. This is the one that we should all just grab a hold of. And this one says that if you're invited by a friend or a relative, that 75 to 80% of the people in a church are in a church because they've been invited by a friend or a relative. I'm here today because my mom conned me into coming to church. She made me promise I would go when I was like 29 years old. And that was it. That was the moment that my life changed. How many of you are in a church or in this church because somebody invited you? Quite a few. So the rest of you are like the anomalies, right? Well, some of you were born in here. You had no choice, right? You were born and here you are and here you stay, and thank God you're still here and you're staying and you're getting involved. But some of you are, you are the exception that you said, hey, there's a church. There's Central Family Worship Center. Let's go to that church. You're the exception, which is awesome. But it really is our job to invite our friends, invite our relatives. Yeah, and that's where I'm stepping on my toes here today as I talk through that. Verse 13, it says, but one of them said, the landowner, he says, but he answered one of them. He said, I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Not being unfair is that not doing wrong or mistreating them. And friend really is a friend, a comrade or a companion. So he said, take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Verse 15, he says, don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? I have the right. Means it is legal, it is proper, it is permitted, and generous just means good. So verse 16, it says, the last will be first, and the first will be last. And the last is the last in a series, or the least, or the final. And the first, in either in chronological order or order of importance, is the first. Now, there are a few messages or a few endings that come from this scripture the way it was intended. And the first one really is about being a Christian and being saved. And gosh, there I go with my Christianese again, and I even wrote it down, Christianese. Let me make that clear. You're either going to heaven or you're not going to heaven, right? Saved in Christianese means you're going to heaven. You can't be a little saved. There is no such thing as being a little saved. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for your sins, and you confess with your mouth, and it will or does show in your life. I mentioned earlier I was born again 30 years ago. Born again means made new. I came to a saving knowledge of Christ. I became heaven-bound, and God changed me, and it was a very, very noticeable change. The Bible tells us we have to be born again. It's in John 3:3 if you want to read about being born again. And that's one I've joked about in messages in the past, back when I got saved and I was pretty radical. And you couldn't be near me for a couple of minutes without me sharing Jesus. And we should all get back to that point where we can't help but share Jesus and what Jesus has done for us and you know how our life has been changed when when we came to be heaven bound or got saved. And I remember talking to somebody once, and I'm like, "Are you a Christian?" And they're like, "Well, I'm not a born again Christian, you know. But yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a born again Christian." It's not possible, okay? It's not possible. Born again Christian is, if you're born again, you're a Christian. If you're not born again, the Bible says you must be born again. Again, John 3:3. You can read that if you want to talk about it later. That's another one I'd love to talk to you about. Being a little saved is like being a little pregnant. Although you can end a pregnancy, and I also believe that you can end your salvation, and I know there's a lot of people that don't, and we can talk about that too. I believe that I experienced that when I was young. I grew up in a church. I grew up believing I was a Christian. I accepted Jesus when I was 15. There was a born again experience visible in my life at that time. But then from about 16 until 29, I am pretty much convinced that I went beyond the grace of God. I think that you can deny that salvation, right? It's not a good place to argue. It's my belief, my view. We can talk more about that. But I think it's harder to get out. It's harder to no longer be a Christian than, I guess, I hope, than I want to believe. We all make mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God, without a doubt. But I think we can make that choice to walk away. So as far as getting to heaven, it doesn't matter if you became a Christian 80 years ago or more. Doesn't matter if you've been a Christian your whole life or if you're a wild child and finally came to a point where you realized you needed a Savior. Or again, like me, grew up in a church, accepted Christ at a young age, backslid, lived contrary to the Christian life, and was born again at 29. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you will be saved. Period. Period. So that's one. That's one. That's probably the most important part of that message is it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, you're heaven-bound, you're heaven-bound. The thief on the cross that said, that acknowledged Jesus as being Christ, as being the Lord, and then died and went to heaven with Jesus. Jesus told him, he said, "I will see you in my Father's kingdom." Right? You can't. You're heaven-bound or you're not heaven-bound. So that's it. It doesn't matter. Your wage doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you did it all day or you did in the first thing or last thing in life. I would say don't risk waiting till the very last moment because you don't know when that's going to be. Now, I started this whole thing by saying I'm on my series of what, you know, things that have helped Gary in his Christian walk, and this is another one that we probably could debate, but it dropped into my knower and we couldn't really confirm it. But when shortly after I was born again, I was at Central Assembly in Muskegon, and I went to the 75th anniversary celebration, and somebody stood up and spoke at the celebration, and I believe with all my heart that it was Pam, and we don't know, that was a long time ago, but I just have it in my mind and in my heart that it was Pam at Central Assembly that stood up, and it made an impact for my life to say, doesn't matter if you just got here or if you've been here your whole life. And there were people that were at that church that had been there their whole life. There were people like me that had just got there. Said, if you attend this assembly, if you support this assembly, this is your assembly. You are a part of this place. It doesn't matter, and I'm saying that here now. It doesn't matter if you were back in 1999 hauling sound equipment, shoveling snow, slipping on the ice, banging your head on the trailer. Or if you just started coming here, but say, you know what, this is where God's called me to be. It doesn't matter. It's your place. It's your, we're your family. You're our family. This is your assembly place, right? We are the church as people. This is the building where we meet. And there's times where I think, man, we really had a disservice by getting this building, because it took away from a lot of the things that we did and the closeness that we had and the working out our salvation the way we did. Because now we're like fat, dumb, and happy. We walk in the doors, we open it up, we turn the lights on, we got extra lights. I mean, it's so different than what it was. We got to get back to appreciating that and taking ownership of all of that. And that, I guess that's what I'm really trying to say is everyone here, everyone out in cyberland, you can be part. It doesn't matter. It's like the kingdom of heaven, right? You're in or you're out. Be in. This is your church. You're in or you're out. Be in. And then today's the day we can start fresh. And praise team, if you want to come up, we're going to have two separate things for this altar call. And the first one, you know, I took some time to explain being saved. If you don't know or didn't know until now that you really were heaven bound, what a great time and a great opportunity to say, you know what, I never really heard it explained that way. I really wasn't sure if I was or I wasn't. And today, I just want to make that declaration that I'm heaven bound. And we'll close our eyes and bow our heads and nobody looking around. But you say that, you can say that. If you felt that, if you felt the Lord kind of, say he likes to like tug on your heart, right? Or knock on your heart or pick at you and say, if you feel that, it's God. He's saying, hey, I'm speaking to you. And you say, you know, I really didn't know if I was heaven bound. I want to be heaven bound. But I really wasn't sure, and I'm still not quite sure, but I sure want to be. If that's you, raise your hand just to let me know. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody and call them up. Thank you. And if you put your hand up, then you can go ahead and put it back down. But thank you. Again, the Bible says that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is the Son of God, there's repentance or asking for forgiveness that is involved. We should ask for forgiveness. We almost can't help but ask for forgiveness when we feel that calling. And I'd like everyone just to pray this prayer. We call it the sinner's prayer, and you know, there are people, they'll say the prayer. There are people that say, once you say the prayer, that's it. You're saved. I say, you say the prayer, you're saved. Now, keep working out your salvation. Read your word, pray, worship. Like Pastor said at the end of the service last week, and I got to throw it in there, get involved in the church. Find a place. When the doors are open, be here. It's hard to live for the world when you're living for God. That's right. let's all pray this together to support those who raise their hand. Just pray after me. Heavenly Father, we confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Father, that He is your Son.
He is your Son.
He died on the cross.
He died on the cross.
So my sins can be forgiven.
So my sins can be forgiven.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
That I am saved.
That I am saved.
That I am heaven bound.
That I am heaven bound.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
I want to live for you, God.
I want to live for you, God.
Help me believe it in my heart. As I read your word.
As I read your word.
As I pray.
As I pray.
As I worship you.
As I worship you.
Make it real to me, God.
Make it real to me, God.
All the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 And I believe it. When you say that prayer and then it's hit the ground running. When I said that prayer, I heard the same thing Pastor said last week, was open your Bible every day and read it. Ask before you read to say, God, show me in your word what you want me to know. Pray. Praying is talking to God. Worship. You know, there's different kinds of Christian lyric music out there. Find the one that speaks to you and find a way to worship it. We worship with a style of music while we're here, but there's all kinds of that's out there. I can almost guarantee you that if there's a type of music that isn't Christian that you love, that there's a Christian version of that with Christian lyrics that will help fill you up the right way. Find that music and get involved here. There is so much for us to do, so much that we haven't done. There's so many workers that are still out there waiting for somebody to just say, come. Come. For the rest of us, and I know many of you aren't in the same place that I find myself in, but I want to make a recommitment today to be more like the landowner. To go out and call forth those laborers. To make sure that they get their wage. Some of them to get their wage now, some of them to get their wage as time goes on. But I want to be like the landowner. And I would ask for the second part of that altar call, how many of you would like to be like that landowner that would go out and find those laborers to labor for God? Awesome. Let's pray for us now too. And I'll pray for us and just be in agreement as I pray if it's what you want. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see those who are out there waiting for somebody to call on them. God, I pray that it would be so evident, Lord, as we would go about our days, God, that we wouldn't be tunnel visioned, just going, doing, Lord, but that we would be aware, God, that you would give us an awareness of your people, God, those who you want to draw into your kingdom, God, those who need to be saved, they're just waiting for that invitation to come and be laborers. God, I know that you will give us the words to say, Lord. I know that you, God, in season, out of season, Lord, your word says that if we open our mouths, you'll fill it. God, I pray that you would give us the tenacity to get up every day and read our word to pray to you, Lord, to ask for direction for what you want us to do each day, where you want us to go, who you want us to meet. And Lord, I pray that you would take away any excuse that we would ever try to give to keep us from doing something for you. In Jesus' name.